if you made a list of the things that you want to accomplish next week, what would you include? Well, let's just take a moment and think. You'd probably include getting some groceries. You'd probably include some specific requirements, perhaps, of your work, of your profession, or wherever your occupation is. There's probably some family duties in there with your children. If you have children, you have some responsibilities there, I'm sure, getting them off to school, or perhaps a sporting team that they're involved in, soccer or baseball or football. Everybody has a list of priorities for next week, don't we? And a flood of things, I'm sure, went through your mind as they would mine when asked that question. Now stop and think of the things that you immediately thought of and that promptly came to your mind as priorities for next week. Did you include prayer? Was prayer one of the priorities that you had down on your list for next week? One of the things that you could not miss that was that much of a priority with you? Sadly, as I examine the Church of Jesus Christ today, that prayer ranks as probably the most overlooked aspect of the Christian life. Believers attempt to accomplish all kinds of things as a Christian without prayer. They've set aside and just simply don't see the necessity of prayer. That has serious consequences upon your spiritual life and upon the spiritual life of the church. As a consequence, we suffer spiritually by lack of prayer. We find that the Spirit of God is grieved and quenched when we don't pray and we don't make prayer a priority in our lives. We lack spiritual authority and supernatural ability of God because we fail to pray. And we lack the glorious presence of God because we fail to seek His face. As we examine the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ and we see that God has begun to judge the church for its sin, we see that there are some very definite causes as to why we don't pray. And if we're going to be very simple and honest about it, which I want to be with you today, we find that it comes basically because of two reasons. Number one, we don't believe that prayer works. And number two, we just flat out disobey God's direction to pray. Now, we can come up with all kinds of excuses and rationale as to why we don't pray. But if we're honest with each other, there's really only two reasons why we don't pray. We don't believe, and we disobey God's direction. And if we are ever to experience God's blessing among us as believers, individually, as well as the church at large, we must make prayer a priority. We must once again go back to the truths of Scripture. And we must confess our sin, and we must repent of our failure to obey God's word. And we must once again recognize that we need to change our lives, our minds, our hearts, in repentance before God for a failure to obey and to believe. The Scriptures are very clear, my friend, that if we will obey and if we will believe, God will hear. God will answer. He will heal our land and He will bring back that spiritual freshness and vitality that we so desperately need in the Church of Jesus Christ today. The Scriptures speak a great deal about prayer. I want to turn to a passage today in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, that talks about prayer. And it talks about prayer being a priority for for the children of God. It's in Matthew chapter 6. I'll just read one verse and then we'll examine it to see how the truth there can affect our lives today. Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they've got their reward." When you pray, it talks very clearly about the priority of prayer. The scriptures from Old Testament through New Testament very clearly identify the necessity of prayer and how we as children of God need to make prayer a priority in our lives. Today I want to examine with you this very simple, yet fundamental and so important truth about the priority of prayer and what the scriptures have to say about it. And I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths and will teach you today, will encourage you, will strengthen you, perhaps even convict you, hopefully correct you, and bring you in alignment with the truth of God's Word, in conformity to God's pattern for your life. The first thing I want you to notice about the priority of prayer is this. Jesus taught the priority of prayer. Now you'll notice in that one verse that I read, I emphasized it a couple of times, but I want you to especially notice it now. It says this, "And when thou prayest." Notice it doesn't say, "if you pray." It says, "when you pray." There is the assumption on the part of the Lord Jesus here that you will pray. If you are a child of God, you will pray. And if you were to read down through the passage here, down through the next four or five verses, you'll find that four times the Lord Jesus makes the assumption that His followers will pray. We notice in verse number 5 it says, "And when you pray." Verse number 6, it says, "And when you pray." Verse number 7 says, "When you pray." And then again in verse number 9, it says, "After this manner pray." The Lord Jesus very clearly understood that His followers would pray. Now, one little time out here real quickly. There are many people who say, "Well, why should I pray? I don't understand. I don't know what to pray for. Besides, God knows what's going to happen and what's going to... Why should I pray?" My friend, very simply, there are many reasons why you should pray. But the most important reason why you should pray is because God said to. God said to pray. I may not always understand it. I may not always feel like it. I may not always have a time of great length to spend in prayer. Oh, my friend, God said, pray. And the Lord Jesus assumed that His followers would pray. So we see in this passage here that the Lord very clearly exhorted His believers to pray. If we were to turn over farther into the Gospels, into the Gospel of Luke, we would find that the Lord Jesus, in fact, stated it in this fashion. He said that men ought always to pray and not faint. So there was the assumption by the Lord Jesus and there was the exhortation by the Lord Jesus to pray. We also find that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray not only by exhortation, but by emphasis. By that I mean, if you examine the messages of the Lord Jesus and the critical times of those messages, you will find that the Lord Jesus talked about prayer. For example, we take the Sermon on the Mount. our passage of Scripture that we've just read is only part of it. The Sermon on the Mount covers several chapters. In that sermon, the Lord Jesus talks four times about prayer, various aspects of prayer. And then we come to what we call the Last Supper, the night before the Lord Jesus was crucified. And we find him giving final messages to his disciples and to his followers. Guess what topic he talked about more than any other topic? Well, since I'm talking about prayer, you may have guessed it. And you're right. It's prayer. That night before he left, and he knew it would be his final message to them before his crucifixion, the most important topic on his heart and mind and soul was prayer. So the Lord Jesus teaches the priority of prayer not only by exhortation, he teaches it by the emphasis in his ministry. He also taught it by example. As we examine the Gospels and the life of the Lord Jesus, we find 23 different references to the Lord Jesus taking time to be away from people to follow his own teaching and to pray. He often would pray all night. There were times when he would go out early in the morning, it says, and prayed. So the Lord Jesus taught us very clearly by his life, by his example, by his teaching, the priority of prayer. We find that the Lord Jesus is not the only one in Scripture who talked about the priority of prayer. For as we examine other writers of Scripture, men whom God used to disseminate his truth and to write the Scriptures, we find that they talked about prayer. Take, for example, David, the sweet singer of Israel, he's called. Probably the most famous king of Israel's history. What did David have to say about prayer? Well, we find in the Psalms which he wrote, I believe it's Psalm 119, it says, seven times a day will I praise you, O God. Seven times a day David came before God and praised him and sought his face. And as you read through the book of Psalms, you find that the majority of those Psalms are prayers. They're the record of David's prayer life, of how he came before the Father and he sought his face in all kinds of circumstances of life. There were times when he was down in the valley, when he was in great trouble and difficulty, facing great trial and hardship, when he was being attacked and pursued by his enemies. Many of the Psalms are records of David's prayers during those times of difficulty and hardship, of how he cried out to a loving Father for protection and for help and for direction and guidance. We find other times when David was up on the mountaintop, when he was rejoicing, when things were going well. David still praising God, still taking time to pray, seeking God's face, seeking God's direction, seeking God's blessing upon his life, seeking just plain fellowship with God the Father. Yes, David surely spoke about the priority of prayer, not only by example, but by what he wrote. Or take another writer of the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah spoke about the priority of prayer when he said it in this fashion: call upon the Lord while he is near. Don't wait. Call upon him while he may be found. Call upon the Lord in prayer. We find writers of Scripture emphasizing the priority of prayer. The one who emphasized it probably the most strongly, other than the Lord Jesus, was the Apostle Paul. For we find in the New Testament that Paul wrote most of the books of the New Testament. And we find that within those pages there are 33 different prayers that Paul prayed for his friends that are recorded there. Oh, Paul was a man of prayer. He spent great time beseeching the Lord and seeking God to know Him. We find not only did he give to us the example of his prayers and the example of his prayer life, but we find that in Scripture that he wrote, he also directed us to pray. We find, for example, recorded in the book of Romans, giving direction to the believers at the church of Rome, he says, continue instant in prayer. Be praying constantly. He said, in other words. Or we can find in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, where he's laying out the armor of the believer that is a protection against the evil one. I want to read this one in particular because it so clearly makes reference to the importance of prayer in the life of the believer. It's Ephesians chapter 6. And he goes down through, starting in verse number 12, where he talks about the armor of God and how we have that armor to protect us against the evil one. The last piece of the armor of the believer as protection against the evil one is prayer. Notice what he says. Verse number 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As part of our protection against the evil one, Paul reminds us and calls us to prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We find if we turn a little farther back in the book of Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul making another direction and another statement about prayer. In verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing. Now that's the King James Version. What does it mean when he says be careful? Well, what he really means is be anxious for nothing. Don't let any anxious care come into your life. Well, what am I supposed to do instead of having anxious care? Pray. And here's how Paul words it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul said, pray. When cares press upon you, instead of taking the route of anxiety and fear, he said, pray. Praying always. And then we find finally in his letter to the believers in Thessalonica, he said it in this fashion. He said, pray without ceasing. Make prayer such a dominant, prominent part of your life and practice that is just continuous. You pray continually. Your whole life is saturated in prayer. Are you getting the picture, my friend, that the Scriptures teach us to pray? I would ask you, is prayer a priority in your life? Or has it become the stage of last resort where you say, well, I can't do anything else, well, maybe I'll pray. Shame on you, my friend. For the Lord Jesus taught us to make prayer the first priority. Before difficulty. Before honor. Before hardship. Before praise. Before failure. Before success. Pray. Make prayer a vital, prominent part of your life. Now then, as we examine godly men and women in Scripture, we find finally that all of them were men and women of prayer. I'll just name a few of them. For example, there's Nehemiah. Nehemiah being challenged in a foreign land where he was serving a foreign king. He heard of difficulty in his homeland. The first thing he did is pray. You can read about it in Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 2. Nehemiah prayed. And then as he went back to his homeland to try and help solve the disputes and problems, you find the whole book of Nehemiah. You find time and time and time again Nehemiah in prayer. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. How about Enoch? The man who never died. The man who was translated up into heaven. Know the description of Enoch? He's described as being a man who walked with God. Prayer fellowship constantly with the Father. The Scriptures give us vivid pictures of men and women of prayer. How about Hannah, the young lady who had no children? And she prayed, God, give me a son. God heard her prayer and gave her a son. You can read about that one in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Or how about Anna? Anna was a widow lady. Her husband had died. What filled her life after sorrow and hardship as losing her husband? You can read in the Gospels that Anna spent her time night and day in the temple praying, spending time with God. We read of Peter in the New Testament in the book of Acts, where he went up on the housetop to pray. That was a common practice of the New Testament church. In fact, in the book of Acts, you find 38 different references to men and women in prayer in the book of Acts. It was founded in prayer. It progressed in prayer. It remained strong in prayer. As we come out of biblical times and come to what we might call post-biblical times, we find again men and women who knew God were men and women of prayer. We find, for example, Charles Spurgeon or Martin Lloyd-Jones, Charles Finney, all men of prayer. I would include a very special one in my life, a special woman of prayer. My mother spent hours in prayer and praying for me. And I greatly miss her prayers today because she's now with the Lord in glory. But she was a woman of prayer, spent many hours daily seeking God's face. I pray that the Spirit of God has opened your eyes to see that the Scriptures very clearly present prayer as a priority. It is not to be the stage of last resort, but rather the first priority. And if we would once again make that our priority, my priority, your priority, we would once again experience the glorious presence of God in our lives and in our church, the presence of God there, because we sought His face. Has the Spirit of God today identified areas in your life where you have failed to apply these truths? Has prayer been something that you just did when you were desperate? And when times were difficult and harsh, and when problems arose, was that the only time you pray? Do you pray at all? Do you spend any time in prayer seeking God's face, even in the midst of difficulty and hardship? My friend, I am very deeply saddened by the case and condition of the Church of Jesus Christ. For its lack of prayer. Has the Spirit of God brought conviction upon your heart and soul today and shown you your unbelief, your failure to believe the truth of Scripture, your failure to obey the very clear teaching of God's Word to make prayer a priority in your life? I would ask you, what changes does the Spirit of God need to bring into your life today because of these truths? Well, there must be repentance from sin, that's for sure. There must be repentance, an understanding and a sensibility of our sin when we don't pray. There must be a shame and a sorrow for the fact that we have let other events intrude upon our time alone with God. When we have made other things, ourselves, of greater importance and of higher priority than spending time with the Father in prayer. We need a new revelation of Jesus Christ. Perhaps today you would say, well, I've never prayed. I do not know that God of whom you speak. But today the Spirit of God has opened your eyes to see Him. That in prayer, trust Jesus Christ, His provision for sin. I pray that today the Spirit of God will bring about a spiritual transformation in your life and bring these truths about prayer into a living reality in your life, that you will begin to be renewed in body, soul, and spirit because of your spending time with God in prayer and by making prayer your priority in life.